Welcome to our new episode of Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella. I'm Bernie Corbett, voice of BU Men's Ice Hockey. Join me and my co-host Kat Cornetta of the Boston Globe all season long as we bring you Inside BU Men's and Women's Hockey. It's time now to drop the puck and go inside BU Hockey. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. You can go to their website, everycaseispersonal.com, or call 855-DiBella for more information on their services. And in our coaches segment this week, which is sponsored by CNR Search, we have head coach Jay Pandolfo. And Jay, as we look ahead to this weekend and the first challenge in Hockey East, look back to last weekend. Enough said about Friday and the results on Friday night, a 4-2 game that, quite frankly, I think we all in agreement was not that close. On Saturday night, the Terriers fell behind, but gained momentum and just got better as the game went along. And were at least rewarded with, well, by the current system, 40% of a win by rallying back to tie the game and send it to overtime.
Yeah, Saturday was definitely better. Started off a little slow probably again, like the previous night, but we were definitely better overall. I thought in the second period we started playing better, started winning some more pucks. I think we only gave up, I forget what the shot total was in the second, but obviously the end of the second was disappointing to have a pretty decent second and give up a goal a minute left in the period wasn't great. But our guys responded in the third, which I thought was a real positive. Going into the third 2-0 against that team is, you know, it's tough to overcome sometimes, but our guys stuck with it. We scored one goal and then actually we gave up another one against right away pretty much. And again, for our guys not to get down and battle back and get it to overtime was a real positive for our team, and hopefully our guys recognize that you have to play a certain way if you want to have success.
Yeah, big turnaround. You mentioned the second period really started to gain momentum. Outshot Michigan State 12-7, then 13-10 in the third period, and rallied back. And the key to that rally was at a time in the game where it looked like it might have got away for you on Saturday, but instead, Camille Bednarik, who's our Terrier profile this week, makes a huge play and goes in and finishes shorthanded.
Yeah, Camille's playing real well for us, and he's, you know, always been very good on the penalty kill and scored at least one or two, or one the previous year. Great, beautiful shorthand goal. I think that was over in Belfast.
Yep.
And, yeah, that was a huge goal for us at that moment, exactly, you know, being down by two and they're on the power play, and for us to score was a huge momentum shift, and I think it gave our team some life. I mean, you could feel it on the bench, and yeah, I was just real happy to see Camille score. He's been a really good player for us, and I think for him, I know he wants to produce more offensively, and sometimes a goal like that can really help you.
And Fondrick gets his first goal on a nice redirect, and all of a sudden you look up and you've climbed the mountain and the crowd's into the game, the biggest crowd, I believe, ever at Aganis last weekend, and the momentum that carried into the overtime with the wild finish at the end.
Yeah, it was great to see Fondrick get his first. I mean, like, he's coming back from, you know, not playing hockey for a while with the injury he had last year, and now he's starting to feel, get the feel for his game again and feeling good out there. And, you know, you get a goal, it certainly helps you too. Because he had a couple chances, I think, early in the game where he shot one off the crossbar. So great to see him get his first. And then, yeah, overtime was obviously back and forth. You know, they certainly had some chances early. We had a couple chances, and then, you know, we had a 2-on-1. And, you know, it looked like it may have, you know, come close to cross the line, but it just didn't quite, and then they go right back down the other end and score. So yeah, it was disappointing that we couldn't find a way to win it in OT.
When you look at this weekend and as you look ahead, Jay, I just think it fascinates me. I guess it's really compelling to look, and you've got a tape if you care to watch again, or with the team on Friday, of the way that you really don't want to play in so many areas that you touched on. And then on Saturday, you can show them a tape where this is how we want to play. I mean, from so many different areas, and particularly in the area of puck management, and then, as you say, playing connected as opposed to disconnected, playing as individuals as opposed to playing together as a team. And just a word that you come back to often, and you came back to describe Michigan State, to play direct, and most importantly, I think, on Saturday, was a willingness to play direct, and can point to these young guys and say, this is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some really good examples in that game on Saturday. And a big part of it, too, for us against Michigan State, who is they are a big, strong team, and their D are heavy, and they got some forwards that are, big guys, that power type forwards that are tough to contain. I just thought, Friday, and even probably more in the first period of Saturday, the big thing for us was really competing and winning puck battles. Mm-hmm. Not that we weren't competing, but finding ways to win puck battles. And that was the difference, definitely in the second and definitely in the third. We started winning our puck battles below our goal line and below their goal line. And a lot of times that's where the game is won. And, we started doing that. So it's a willingness to win your puck battles. It's a willingness to support each other. And that's what we started doing.
And as opposed to, I know when we talked before the game Saturday, you were really amazed and not pleasantly about how you really never, and with the never got inside, never got to the quality of the great eight area on Friday. And you got to win battles in order to get there. You got to win the battles along the wall and the corners to get pucks, let alone just to get pucks to that area, which you did on Saturday.
Yeah, you have to have the puck to have a chance to get inside. And, like I said, Friday we didn't have it very often. Saturday, we started finding ways to win a puck and hang on to it a little bit, and mm-hmm. we weren't turning pucks over or down low in their end, and all of a sudden they're transitioning out against us, and that's what was happening for a lot of the stretches, and in especially the first game, and then a little bit of the second too, until we were able to sustain a little bit more pressure on them in the offensive zone.
Yeah, so much of that direct game comes at the direct game, as opposed to, I know you refer to it often, about hesitation and just waiting to make a play that might not be there, or just waiting overall, as opposed to moving it with some conviction and moving it quickly.
Yeah, we talk about, we want our guys to make plays, but we want our guys to make the right play.
That's the
message that we try to get our guys to understand. If you're trying to make a play that's not there, then it's not the right play. So the right play may be put it behind the D and get on the forecheck. It's not turning the puck over. Mm-hmm. That's how sometimes it's a work in progress with the younger team. They think they can get away with certain things through the neutral zone, and it's just not going to work, or in the defensive zone. Sometimes the safe play is just putting it into the neutral zone and going to work, and it's just a mindset that we have to get to a little bit more often.
Absolutely. Just as you say, sometimes the right play is there is no play in that situation, and be able to make a play at a different point in the rink in that situation. And looking ahead here to this weekend, once again, first Hockey East Challenge with UConn, team that you split right down the middle, 1-1-1 last year, included the game in the Hockey East semifinal, which I know was a disappointment. You bounced back to the Frozen Four in the NCAA championship game. But once again, great challenges in the league, and UConn certainly presents one with a veteran team.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough weekend. I mean, obviously, UConn returns, I think, most of their roster for the most part.
Yes.
And they had a really good season last year, and they – they, in the semifinals of Hockey East, really gave it to us pretty good. They talk about playing a direct game, and they play fast, and they're on top of you on the forecheck, and a team that transitions very well. They're similar to Michigan State, where they play a direct game. They're not probably as big, but they probably play faster, actually, than Michigan State does. So,
mm-hmm.
We have to be ready for that. And again, They really swarm you in the D zone too, so that's another area where we have to make sure in the offensive zone that we're finding ways to come out of the corners with the puck. And then being able to create second, third chances against them so they can't get their transition game going.
And health report here as you get ready for the weekend, which will begin at Parker Rink and then down to Storrs.
Yeah, we should. I mean, Nick Rukinakis is still out. He's probably still another month away. Mm-hmm. Sasha Bovaer is expected to play. I still won't know probably until tomorrow, the day of the game, if he's 100% going, but he's looked real good in practice this week, so I expect him to be in the lineup. So he's still, you know, just kind of battling through it, trying to get back to 100%.
And, Jay, my final comment here is the symmetry of the seasons that in your tenure, the last 3 years, it was a road test against a quality brand name opponent. Michigan struggled the first night, came back with a win the second night. Notre Dame struggled the first night, came back with a big win the second night. North Dakota struggled the first night a year ago this weekend, came back with a big win. The only thing that didn't happen last weekend was you didn't quite get the win. You got 40% of a win for getting the game to overtime, but all those seasons ended in the desired destination of the Frozen Four. So I'm just hoping that lightning can strike again in terms of the lessons of, again, a very young team.
Yeah, you know, you hope that the team starts, you know, you learn from your mistakes and your losses, and you improve from there and you get better over the course of the season. And you know, that's our expectations for our group. I mean, I think we know going into every year, you know, we got a lot of new players, got a lot of young players. That's going to take time. And, you know, again, you're seeing that already from our group. That it's going to take some time before we're all, you know, up and running the way we want to be playing on a consistent basis. And, you know, it's a work in progress, and we're just going to continue working at it. And, you know, hopefully the guys are willing to do the same.
Absolutely. Jay, thanks very much. You're playing a little shorthanded with us this morning. We appreciate it, and hope you'll be feeling better here today. And we'll all be ready to go in Terrier Nation for the weekend challenge of the UConn Huskies.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, bud.
Coach Jay Pandolfo joining us here in our coaches segment this week, sponsored by CNR Search, your executive search firm, on Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. Go to their website for more information, everycaseispersonal.com. CNR Search is an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. The CNR Search mission is to provide outstanding leadership solutions by identifying and evaluating the most qualified candidates for their client organizations. If you're a candidate or company seeking executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob, B-A-R-I-C-H, at cnrsearch.com. CNR Search. Winners joining winners. Proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Welcome back to Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law. At DiBella Law, every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella or visit their website, everycaseispersonal.com. My name is Kat Cornetta, and I am here for Inside BU Hockey's weekly chat with Terriers women's hockey head coach, Tara Watchhorn. So just start off, one thing I've noticed online the past couple of days is a lot of people are talking about the college hockey polls, which, I mean, that's not new. Everybody's talking about the polls all the time, and it made me curious. As a coach, do you refer to these polls and rankings at all, or is that just, you know, kind of external to your work?
Yeah, for me personally, like I can tell you right now, like we have so much, like in a good way, like work to do that's been surfaced from our first five games that We're having a lot of fun just being in the trenches and you know, going to work the day to day. I haven't really looked. And I think when you're 0-5, you don't really look to see if you're moving up in the polls either, right? So I for me, but I do, we want to be on the national stage. We want to play against the best teams in the country. We want to play in March. And so I like to draw attention to it and to try to help have a relationship with it, like you would with stats and awards, like try to help our team have a relationship to it that we want it. And you know, you're proud when you're there, but it's not the only thing that defines your success.
And to go back to game action, last Friday you had a bit of a setback against Brown, but as you mentioned in today's media call, it was a much more mature team. There were some real highlights on how they handled the game action. What are some of the positives coming out of that game?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's the most connected we felt for a 60 minutes, a full game. And I think with that discipline, that attention to detail, because it's been something that's been a little spotty throughout the beginning of the season, it tires you out a little bit sometimes. It tires you out from doing some of the more creative stuff or playing a little bit more free because you're thinking a lot. And you know, I think we saw the benefit it's going to have for us. It's way better to start your shift in the ozone as many times as possible than to, you know, play catch up all game. And so I think they bought in, they played connected, they played professional in how they communicated. And I think that, you know, disappointing, yes, but we all walked away from that experience and said, all right, that's more the direction we want to go. And how do we make it better next game?
And one thing that a lot of people have been asking you about is your plans at goalie, especially this weekend against UNH. And you've got a rotation going on. What are your plans moving forward with that? And when do you usually make that decision in the week?
Yeah, we're getting around that time. I like to put the media calls right before, just kidding. But you know, I think we have two great goalies. You know, you have a big picture plan always based on, you know, your trajectory, and then that allows you to pivot based on need, based on what the team needs and how they're both individually performing. And you know, I think for both of them right now, based on how they've played, it's going to take a jolt to the system, either in how the team plays in front of them, how they play, or you know, what the environment needs. It's going to take a jolt to the system to give a runway. But we're ready for it to happen. We're ready for one of them to run with the net. We're ready to get a streak of wins going, and however that looks, we're going to try to put the best goalie that day in net to help win.
One thing that I hope everyone has read is the great Daily Free Press article on you and Ted Lasso and all of that. Have you read it? One, and the one thing that stuck out to me is your interest in line changes. So how did that interest, like very deep dive interest, come about?
Well, first shout out to Sam. What a talented and passionate writer, and it's been fun to build our relationship with our program. And you know, obviously the him himself and you know, the Daily Free Press and Boston Hockey Blog, it's fun being at a hockey school where people care, and it's fun to build that relationship. And I think that article is a result of 2 years, you know, of doing that through the highs and lows. And I was blown away by how many people he interviewed before he even got to me for that article. And for me, so yes, I did read it, and it was just so cool the work he put into it, and to hear context and bits and pieces from people in all parts of my career and last season and years before that. And then I think he did, funny enough, Brett giving him that, you know, the Ted Lasso cue. I think it was cool how we kind of brought it to life. You know, like I said, I'm a nerd for the game, obviously, familiar with it. You know, talk to the emphasis on line changes. But I thought it was really creative in how he brought it to life. But for me, in line changes, I think it's one of those things, whether it's PK is another one that I'm passionate about, how to teach defense that's not one way or the other, that's a way that they're making reads and dictating the play and playing aggressive together. Like, those are big buckets for me that I think as a player, I understood and had great coaches. And I understood the value in it and how it all clicked. But I think as a coach now, I'm passionate about how to teach it in a way that our players aren't playing to be right or wrong. They're doing it to serve their own game and serve the team's game and their consistent understanding of where that relationship is. How does it serve me so that I can help the team? And then how is it helping holistically to build momentum? And I think so for those areas, it's just been year after year of playing around with different ways of doing it.
CNR Search is an executive search firm specializing within the life science and biotech industries. The CNR Search mission is to provide outstanding leadership solutions by identifying and evaluating the most qualified candidates for their client organizations. If you're a candidate or company seeking executive search solutions, reach out to Bob Barish at cnrsearch.com. That's Bob, B-A-R-I-C-H, at cnrsearch.com. CNR Search, winners joining winners. Proud sponsor of Boston University Hockey.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. You can call 855-DiBella or go to their website, everycaseispersonal.com. And in our player profile this week, sponsored by our friends at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel, with their locations in Lexington, Woburn, and Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. And very happy to have with us Boston University sophomore center iceman Camille Bednarik from Elmhurst, Illinois, Chicago suburb of Elmhurst, Illinois. Camille, welcome to the show, and great to have you join us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Camille, a weekend that the Terriers knew was going to be a test of two of the top teams in the country, certainly aspiring to be among the top teams in the country at the end of the season. But for October hockey, it was pretty intense.
Yep. Yeah, it was definitely a pretty competitive weekend. It was two good teams battling it out, pretty early in the season. So we still got some things to work on, as do they. It was a good competitive game. They're a good team. They play hard. So I just think if we see them again, we just kind of got to match their intensity a little better. Than we did this past weekend. I think they did a good job of that, being physical. They won a lot of battles, which I think we definitely need to improve on if we want to have success, down the road. We've been working on that kind of in practice. It was good that we played them this early in the season because we kind of, learned what we need to work on and the things that we still need to tweak. So I'm honestly grateful that we played them that early. They're a good team, but I think our team at our best, we can beat anyone. So we just learned a lot from that weekend. Obviously didn't get the results we wanted, but I think there's some positives that came out of it. So we'll just keep pushing and hopefully have a good weekend here against UConn.
Big test coming up. UConn, a team that was obviously in the national tournament last year and would expect to be again. And the road doesn't get any easier as the Terriers enter into Hockey East play. The center rotation was certainly tested on Saturday. Sasha Boisvert being out and your role increasing and seemed to be increasing as you'd expect as a guy going from their freshman to sophomore year. You spent a lot of time with Murtagh on the left side and Harvey on the right side. Just give us some insight about playing with those guys and how that's worked out here early on.
Yeah, those are both, two great players. So it was, great playing with them. Yeah, obviously with Sasha Boisvert out, lines kind of got mixed up a little bit. So I was kind of playing with, different wingers throughout the game. Injuries happen. It's not ideal that, Sasha was out. But it happens. So, players got to, step up if we have, guys out. But playing with Harvey and Murtagh, they're great players. They play the game the right way. I think Mertz, he's a freshman this year, so he's kind of getting his feet wet a little bit in college hockey. But I think he's handled himself very well. For me, I had a tough time starting off my college career for the first half. So I think he's doing pretty well. And then obviously Harvey's been around, so he knows, how to play in hockey, in this league, and just in college hockey overall. He has experience. Obviously, both of them very skilled, can make plays and score. It was a great playing with them.
No question. And your value to the team, and once again, the role increases with experience that you gained last season, and now being, well, and on this team, being a sophomore makes you very much a veteran with how many guys that are new,
exactly.
The guys that are new to college hockey, and your responsibility on the penalty kill, very important on faceoffs, how responsible you are down low defensively and defending. You, on the back check, being impactful. I mean, really, as advertised, I remember the scouting report and talking to people about you coming into the program. This guy's a 200-foot player, and you've really personified that and really seem to be emerging and embracing that role. And case in point was leading the charge with the comeback with that huge shorthanded goal on Saturday.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I just kind of, like to play the game, the right way, be on the right side of the puck. I'm competitive, so, want to win, every puck. I like to make sure we're, sound defensively before, maybe jumping offensively. I'm playing with a lot of good players as well, so they make it easy on me. Obviously the penalty kill is very important. Killing off power plays, so whatever Pando needs me to do, I can do it. Doesn't matter, any situation. I'm just here to help the team, and just want to win and push to win national championships. So I'll just do whatever I can to do that.
Second career shorthanded goal. You had one in the Belpot final in Belfast against Notre Dame. So that's your first shorthanded goal on this continent, anyway, Camille. It was on Saturday, but just taking us through that in terms of how you anticipated and made the play. Is that just the superior coaching of Joe Pereira on display?
Joe's great. I think he, coaches our penalty kill very well. I like this style of penalty kill, personally, I like the more aggressive penalty kills because I think it catches power plays off guard. So, I love doing that, stealing the puck away. And that certain play, obviously we were down 3-1. It was pretty getting late in the game. Didn't have much energy. As a group, we needed something. Mm-hmm. Obviously needed a goal or something. And then we took that penalty, unfortunately. But I guess it worked in our favor. I went out there. Joe was telling us, we need one here, obviously. So, be aggressive. So I kind of, I just put it in my head, we need one here. So I'm going to, do my best to, try to find a way where I can, pick off a pass or break up a play and, try to attack offensively. So they went, to break their puck out on the power play and kind of, went in there as F1, the first forward, pretty aggressive, angle. Mm-hmm. And, I knew they were obviously doing, a drop, as their breakout. I've done this in the past, but, kind of anticipating the drop. Because, they're going to drop it. So I kind of, angled the quarterback, the defenseman, up the ice, and then kind of got behind him because I knew he was going to drop it. And then, thankfully, I got a stick on the drop. And the puck kind of just, laid there in the center of the ice. And, I turned around real quick and
saw that I could, like, you know, poke, jab at it, and beat the last guy. So I kind of just did that, and thankfully, you know, it worked, and I got by him and was all alone and, you know, buried it. So that was definitely a good turning point in that game. We got one right after that, like a few minutes, and we tied it up. So it definitely, you know, it helped for sure. It just sucks that we didn't finish the job in overtime. But, yeah.
Yeah, huge momentum swing there, and just by – I guess less than a whiff of a puck, it would have been an overtime victory. But still, you know, Terry, is, I reminded everybody, still, it's 40% on getting that game to overtime, 40% of a win. So it wasn't completely for naught anyway, Camille, although, of course, it seems like that in the moment, but being able to move on. And your roots are very firmly planted in the Chicago suburbs, but not that far removed from Slovakia. Your family story of your parents coming over and with friends from Slovakia to Chicago suburbs back, about 25 years ago that your parents immigrated?
Yeah, it was pretty long time ago, but my whole family's from there, from Slovakia, so my parents were the first from our family to migrate over to the U.S., so I did that like a good bit ago, and decided to start a family in Chicago. Thought there would be better job opportunity, just a better life overall for me and my sisters. So I started a family in Elmhurst, Illinois. It's a suburb like 20 minutes from the city.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my sisters grew up there. I have two older sisters. I just started. My parents, very athletic, so they played sports growing up. My dad ran track, and my mom was a swimmer. So, they love sports, and they definitely wanted me and my sisters to play. So they kind of, got us into sports very young. Me and my sisters all swam for my mom's swim team growing up. And, of course, I played football for a year. I played, a ton of basketball. Did basketball camps and stuff. My sisters ran track and cross country. So, and then eventually me and my middle sister, Simone, got into hockey. She got into hockey a little later than me. She started, around 8, so pretty late. But I started playing, started skating when I was, 2, 3. My mom taught me how to skate. And then eventually picked up hockey around 3-4 years old, been playing ever since. And then my sister picked it up 8. So we've been just, playing, youth hockey in Chicago. Me and, my sister played, for Team Illinois, at the same time. And then obviously she was on the girls team. I was on, the boys team, but, I just played youth hockey. I played for the Mission, played for the Fury 1 year as well. And my sister also did for a year or two. So I just grew up in Chicago area, just, playing sports, playing hockey. Eventually, me and my sister kind of stuck with the hockey as the one sport. And we've been playing ever since. So my sister now plays, she's in Slovakia right now, actually. So she's playing there.
National team. Yep.
For the national team still. So she loves to travel. So she decided to, play there for this year. She was obviously, at SUNY Oswego for 4 years, at college D3. I went to, the program eventually and, committed here. And then now I'm, it's my second year here. So, very grateful, for the opportunity to come here, and I've had absolute blast, so far. And, hopefully I'll keep it going. I love BU. I love this program, and, just want to win a national championship here. That's definitely a dream. So, yeah.
No question. And I know with the draft A year ago in Las Vegas, you were drafted second to the Islanders. Teammate Cole Eisenman was also drafted by the Islanders. And reading the story about your parents driving 1,700 miles from Chicago suburbs to Las Vegas for the draft.
Yep.
Maybe even more amazing about that story was the challenges that your dad faces now after the accident, the work accident that he had, and the challenges and what everybody in your family has had to contend with and being able to support him. I mean, did nothing but praise for all of you and prayers for all of you.
Thank you. It's obviously been tough. It's definitely harder for my parents to come to see me play, because they would have to drive. You know, my dad doesn't really like the flies. He's flown once before, but it's just tough with everything. But so it's definitely tough, because you know they would come to like every single one of my games when I was younger. You know, it was awesome. Obviously, you know, getting drafted is a once in a lifetime experience, so they couldn't miss that. So they drove to Vegas. You know, I had a ton of family and friends there. We got an Airbnb there, so we all stayed there. It was a lot of fun. It was definitely super cool to have my parents, you know, there, you know, the day I got drafted, because it's a very special moment. You know, obviously they've helped me get to that point. You know, wouldn't be in that position without them. So it was good to have them there and to have them experience it with me.
No question about that. Got to ask you also before we wrap up here. Significance of the number. You were quick to make a change, I guess, when it was offered to 38. As far as the number, significance of that number. What can you tell us?
Yeah. I just wanted to switch it up this year. I've worn 11 in the past, and I've worn 38 in the past. Kind of my two numbers. Growing up, I only wore like the number 38.
Okay.
Since I was since I played like AA, like for the Grizzlies, I think was my first time throwing the 38 on. So it was a long time ago. It was kind of my parents' idea. Kind of wear it in honor of Pavel Dimitra. He's a Slovak hockey player.
Oh, that's right.
Very famous
okay.
in Slovakia. He was on that one plane that unfortunately crashed,
and
he got killed in that plane crash. So
the KHL.
He was a very special person to like the whole country of Slovakia and just hockey in general in Slovakia. And he wore the number 38, obviously. And my parents kind of wanted to for me to wear 38 in honor of him. So I've been wearing 38. It's kind of like our family's lucky number, honestly. Like it's weird. We like see the number 38 like everywhere, just like, you know, like on license plates or whatever. It's funny. We kind of make jokes that, like, you know, we see that number like everywhere we look. It's definitely like a special number. 11 is also a lucky number as well. I wore it at the program. I also wore it in New Jersey for a year when I was in New Jersey playing for the Rockets before the program. So I wore it there. Then my first year at the National Team Development Program, wore 38, and then went to 11 my second year there. And obviously 11 my first year here at BU, and wanted to switch it back to 38. I just think it's kind of my number, kind of like my family's number. So definitely think in the future, you know, it'll be rocking, you know, wherever I'll be playing, 38 or 11. So it's kind of the two numbers I wear.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I asked, because I can remember that obviously that tragedy, the KHL plane crash, was back in 2011, and it's very very appropriate, and gives us insight as to why 38 is special, and Well, continue to be very much your number and the number for the family going forward, and hopefully one that you're going to continue to wear with great pride and success with Boston University and beyond.
Commitment. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. And
yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And next up will be the UConn Huskies, and you scored against them. I remember last year in the hockey semifinals. And as we wrap up, your thoughts about facing UConn this weekend back to back, first one at home.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty similar, like in their values as a team to Michigan State. You know, they play a very hard game. They're definitely, you know, hard to play against. But yeah, I mean, we came up short against them in the Hockey East. So we kind of have like a chip on our shoulder there. They knocked us out. But yeah, you know, it's they're a good team for sure. So we got to come ready to play. We've been definitely working this week. So I think, you know, as a team, we're going to be prepared to, you know, show up. But yeah, it'll definitely be a challenge, but, you know, I think we'll be good. So just looking forward to it.
Absolutely. As am I. We're all looking forward to it. Terrier Nation with the challenge of the UConn Huskies. First one at Parker Rink on Friday and then down in stores on Saturday. Camille, thanks very much for joining us here this week for our Terrier Profile.
Yeah, thank you, Bernie.
Camille Bednarik, Boston University sophomore center iceman out of Elmhurst, Illinois, our guest, our Terrier Profile here this week, sponsored by Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel, baked fresh, baked daily on Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. Go to everycaseispersonal.com. It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations, 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Welcome back to Inside BU Hockey Podcast, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Call 855-DiBella. Our Terrier Woman's Profile this week is brought to you by Wicked Bagel, baked fresh, baked daily, with locations in Lexington, Woburn, and Watertown. Today, I'm joined by senior defender and captain of the team, Maeve Carey. Maeve, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So I was thinking we could start off with some fast facts about yourself so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
All right, first question. Do you have any hockey superstitions?
Ooh, I'm not the most superstitious, I will say, on the team, but I do. I have to get dressed right to left on every piece of equipment, like even down to my socks, like underneath my skates. And I also have to pray the same exact prayer before every single off ice warm up, and then when I'm on the ice as well.
Have these started like your whole hockey career? Are these more new?
The right to left has always been a thing ever since I started hockey. I don't know why. I think my dad just put my skate on my right foot first. I don't know, but the praying thing started when I got to college. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Do you have a favorite holiday or a favorite season of the year?
I would say my favorite holiday. Oh God, that's hard. I like Christmas, but I also really like the 4th of July because I love summer.
Oh, that's kind of random. I feel like that's not a common favorite holiday.
I just love the time around it, like summer. And just like, it's a big thing in my family and my friends. So everyone, like, it's nice when everyone gets work off and we all get together, which is fun.
No, that's good. I mean, it's one of the only holidays with nice weather in the summer. So
yes.
I can understand that. Do you have any pets?
I don't. I wish.
Okay. If you could get a pet, what would it be?
A dog. I would get an Aussie doodle. 100%.
Oh, okay. Do you see yourself once you graduate getting one?
Yeah. I want like 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then last little question, do you have a favorite memory with the Terriers so far?
Ooh, there's been so many. I think I would have to say winning Hockey East. Yeah, that's got to be definitely up there. I mean, even the little things day to day, just being in practice with everyone with the new team this year, it's been awesome so far. But overall, definitely Hockey East title takes the champ.
Yeah, definitely a good memory last season. Now, why hockey? Who like motivated you to start? Is there anyone else in the family who played?
Yeah, so it was like a pretty big sport throughout my family. Like my brother and my dad played. And then my cousins growing up too, who are like all around my age, played as well. So I kind of was just surrounded by it. And actually my dad did not want me to play because he knew how big of a commitment it was. But I don't know. I just was always around like my boy cousins, especially because they were closer to my age. So yeah, it was just something I decided I wanted to pick up.
Mm-hmm. And you have 3 siblings, any of them big into sports?
Yeah, we all are very part of the family. Yeah, my 2 sisters played, actually they played college soccer together. Okay. And then my brother, he did not play in college, but he played hockey, golf, baseball. He still golfs. We actually all golf all the time, but yeah.
So your dad did not get his wish, very busy all the time. And you're pretty close to home in Gloucester. Do you get to see your family very often?
Yeah, they have not missed, at least my parents have not missed a single one of my college career games, which is something so cool that not a lot of people get to say. But yeah, my siblings, they all are married and some of them have children. So they bring my nieces and nephews. So it's a lot of fun.
Do they go to away games or mostly just home games?
They'll come to some of the away games like Merrimack. That's really easy. Sometimes like Holy Cross, BC, obviously. Like the ones in Boston, they'll go to. But my parents travel to every single away game.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. And you originally started your collegiate career at Stonehill. What was that decision process like transferring to BU last year?
I mean, it was pretty easy and clear for me to know where I wanted to go. BU has always been like a dream school growing up, being from the Boston area. So yeah, it was like, as soon as I had that opportunity, I knew that's where I wanted to be. And I knew that I would love being here, just being a Terrier, being a part of the campus community and being in the city. It's a dream that like not a lot of people get to have. So
did you go up? Did you go to any BU hockey games growing up?
Yeah, I went to, I actually used to play in between periods at the men's games growing up. Yeah. When I played boys hockey, like in minor hockey, we would come and skate in between the periods. And then I'd been to, I think, like a couple women's games, or like, especially when the Beanpot started getting bigger and bigger. But mainly men's games. Yeah.
That must have been so full circle then, playing at Aganis last year and you had been there as a kid.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome.
That's such a great story. Now, this season, you've stepped more into a leadership role being the captain. What has that transition been like for you?
I mean, like everything, there's highs and lows. But honestly, like the other girls in the leadership group have been so helpful. And I think we're such a big support system for each other, which is awesome. We're always like all on the same page and very encouraging of each other. And so are the coaches. And even my teammates, who even like the younger ones, underclassmen, have just been super supportive, knowing that it is a big task to take on. But yeah, everyone's just been super helpful throughout the process. And each day I'm learning something new and I'm learning how to navigate through adversity. And yeah, just how to handle it and just continually help the team get better each day.
Would you say you have a certain type of leadership style?
Yes, I definitely am like a do as I do rather than do as I say. I like to model what we need to do and I like to be like together with my team. Like, I don't like to be away looking at the team saying like, this is what we need to do. Like, I like to be in it. I like to be in the trenches with them, which I feel like makes a better space for people to feel comfortable to come talk to me and not think that just because I'm the captain, they can't look at me as a human, which is really nice.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely makes sense of you're leading more by example than anything, you know, you're with them, because obviously you're all still a team regardless of leadership groups, you know. So obviously it's been a little bit of a tough start to the season, now 0-5. Has this been more of a challenge to take on now as captain, like having to navigate this and having to motivate people?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a challenge, but I don't think it's something that we can't handle. And honestly, it would be weird if things were perfect right now. It's the beginning of the season. There's going to be so many bumps along the way. And for us to learn how to deal with them right now and work out the kinks, I think it's going to be so beneficial to us later on in the season when you're in that playoff game and it's tied going into the third period, just knowing how to remain calm in those moments. Yeah, it's definitely tough being 0-5 and keeping that motivation going. But I think as a whole, we're just so driven and we know what we're capable of. And we know that we are a very good hockey team. So we're just going into this weekend with it being a Hockey East game with kind of a clean slate, because we haven't, this will be our first Hockey East competition. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of like a reset for us. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in, you know, the post game interviews with Tara and sometimes the player here and there, it really doesn't seem like you guys are discouraged, which is great to hear. You're definitely able to find different positives from your game and different things you've improved on each week, which I think is such a good mindset to have. And like you said, like later on in the season, having this experience will definitely, you know, make you better players and kind of build the character now that will help you later on. And you kind of spoke a little bit about UNH this weekend. With it being Hockey East, does that change the preparation at all for this matchup?
No. We're sticking to our systems. You know, like, we're able to adapt on the fly as a team in a game, and that's because we have our systems and we play our game. And rather than changing our game for someone else, we'll never do that. We might make someone else change their game for us, but we're sticking to BU Hockey and the values that we believe in and just continue to push the pace. Yeah, I think it's just important for us this weekend to kind of come out in the first setting the tone, which I think we're fully capable of.
Mm-hmm. And I know the power play has been a big topic of conversation this year. Have there been any changes to that in practice this week? Anything you guys are working on in terms of that?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at some new looks, just trying to get some different sparks going, see what we can do there. But yeah, I think just the more touches we get, you know, at the beginning of the season, a lot of power plays aren't what they end up being at the end of the year. And that's okay. It's going to take more time and more games. But yeah, I think as we continue to work on it, it's going to get better each week, just like our play.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been so interesting to see all the different lines change every week, seeing how different people mesh together. It seems like there's a good chemistry going of everyone can pretty much play with everyone on the team and be successful.
Yes, definitely. We have so much depth, which a lot of teams don't have from our first down to our fourth. And everyone's able to kind of just adapt on the fly and trust each other. And that's because we stick to our systems. And if everyone's playing the same systems and knowing your rules, you should be able to play with really realistically anyone.
Yeah, definitely. And now looking to your season ahead, do you have any goals specifically for yourself this season?
I think leadership goals. I just want to continue to empower my teammates and lead them down the right path and just continue bringing up my teammates, even in the hard times. And also being able to lean on my teammates as well, because it's not just me who has to handle these things. It's everyone. We're all one. And specifically, I think on the ice, I just want to be a little bit more of an offensive threat and really just get back in touch with my game that I had before I was out with my injury. So
how are you doing in terms of recovery? Are you feeling back and better?
Yeah, I'm definitely back. And I think each weekend as I continue to play more games, I'm getting back into that game mentality, game mindset, game speed.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much to Maeve Carey for joining us this week on the Inside BU Hockey Podcast, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Go to everycasespersonal.com.
It takes a crazy bagel lover to make the best and freshest bagels, and that's who you will find at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel features only hand-rolled New York-style bagels crafted with precision and love to meet your high standards at their three locations, 171 Mass Ave, Lexington, 345 Washington Street, Woburn, and now open at 68 School Street, Watertown. Bake fresh, bake daily. Wicked Bagel.
After an accident, you need your attorney to understand what you're going through, and I do.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. Here, every case is personal.
Because of my brother's accident, I built a firm that treats clients like family.
DiBella Law Injury Attorneys, 855-DiBella. We understand.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. Well, we can't get much more personal than our special segment this week because we have with us our presenting sponsor, who we thankful for all of Terry Nation for helping to make Inside BU Hockey possible this season and hopefully for many seasons in the future. And pleased to welcome Boston University class of 1999 and also a couple pending graduates of Boston University that are on campus now with his two of his children, Chris DiBella. Chris, welcome. Great to have you here this week.
Bernie, so excited to be on the program. It's an honor. I love your work. You do a great job, and so happy to be a part of the community.
Indeed. Once again, really appreciate your support and give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about DiBella Law and 20 plus years that you've been in business with DiBella Law. And really, when I did my research to speak to you here today and getting to know you over the last couple of months, the word that immediately comes to mind, I think, is family. And the fact that you've prided yourself, you and your firm, on treating every case, as you say, every case personal, but really bringing that family element to it in terms of how you do serve your clients and deliver for them.
You know, it's not just a catchphrase to us, and I know that might be corny to say, but, you know, you really would get a taste of that if you do ever work with our firm, not you personally, but anybody. You know, literally from that first phone call when you talk to one of our staff members, there's just, we have a really, really empathetic staff, cares deeply about the clients, they're very invested in the cases. I'm very grateful for that, but that's intentional. You know, we take a lot of pride in who we hire. We believe very strongly in culture, which family and empathy is a very big part of. And that is very apparent, I think, to anybody that's ever worked with our office.
You've had thousands of cases over the years in Massachusetts and New Hampshire and garnered several million dollars, I note, from your website in settlements and verdicts on a number of cases that are involved with personal injury. And really, when you look at the empathetic side of it, Chris, when people are in the situations that they are, when they come to you, I mean, that really means everything to be able to treat them with that personal care and touch, to be able to deliver for them. But to have that compassion and empathy, I think, is really something that seems to have been brought forward based on all of the reviews and everything that I've learned about your firm.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we, like I said, we take a great deal of care. I mean, client satisfaction is everything to us at DiBella Law. You know, it's something that we put a lot of work and a lot of effort into. It's something that the staff cares very deeply about. And it's something that, you know, you can't always teach. You know, so we make sure that we're hiring people that, you know, put forward our values. And, you know, it is important, right? The first time somebody calls us is oftentimes the first time they've ever called a law office. And that can be intimidating and scary. And you know, any of these doctors or lawyers out there that go don't have the right bedside manner or don't know how to treat people like humans and be empathetic, I don't know how to relate to them. I mean, I've been through some tragedy in my life over the years, and I've been in a lot of my clients' shoes, and we really we take that to heart. So, you know, we know the stressors. They're already in a very vulnerable position. Somebody, a loved one, has been injured. They have the stressors of, you know, piling up medical bills and debt collectors and the uncertainty of what's going to happen with their job or their income. And, you know, I really am privileged and honored that somebody looks to us to be able to help through those difficult times.
You mentioned about you've had personal family experience that really has educated you. And I think from what I gather, really pointed you in the direction of your profession and the pursuit to go to law school and to have the firm that you have today and to be able to practice as you do today, that there really is an understanding of the victim and what happens on that end of it with the people that are on the other line when they call to Bella Law.
Yeah, I think very much like you, Bernie, who your passion for what you do, it just oozes out of you. I bring that same passion to work every day for me. And that's largely, you know, been based on how I was raised. And I come from a very blue-collar, hardworking family. My father worked in construction, and he always wanted me to go into law. You know, he had, you know, a lot of difficulties at work in the construction field and being injured and seeing other people injured or taken advantage of. And then it kind of capped off when I was a young boy, actually, on my birthday, when my brother suffered a tragic injury when he was riding his bike and was injured, and that, you know, seeing my family have to go through his recovery and battling with insurance companies and medical providers, and, you know, my father would always say, you know, there's got to be a better way, you know, there's got to be an easier way, there's got to be, you know, we're the victims here, but yet they feel re-victimized by the fact that, you know, they're having to wait to get justice or not the justice that they deserve, and you know, I've really tried to carry that through into our firm and really make that a mission statement for us to make sure that we're delivering for our clients every day on every case.
And noted from you personally, first generation opportunity to go to college. A familiar story, as we talked about when we first met, you came to Boston University in the fall of 1995. And of course, like a lot of people that come to school in Boston, you didn't leave. you settled, you liked it so much that you stayed, you settled in the Boston area, proud Boston University graduate class in 1999. And not surprisingly, there developed, you talk about passion, your passion for Boston University hockey as a student.
Oh my God. You know, I fell in love with BU, love at first sight. Unfortunately, my wife went to Northeastern at the time. They weren't much of a threat. They've grown to be much more of one. So, you know, raising my kids, we went to almost every Beanpot since they were small. You know, it's very clear that who the favorite in the house is now because I have two at BU, but, there was many years that it was a split household. But yeah, I fell in love with BU and the campus and the community and everything that it provides. What a great experience. You know, I got to fall in love with hockey at a time where you had, you know, the greats, right? Our coach, Jay Pandolfo, was playing when I was in school, and Chris Drury, Mike Greer, and, you know, just so many great, great names and great years that we had. And, you know, it's come full circle for me. So now I get to watch my son play at Walter Brown on the club team on the same ice that I used to go, you know, with my friends experience the Division I hockey games. And it's, I couldn't be more proud of where the university's come in the last, you know, 30 years since I graduated. But it's really just a great community. It's nice really getting a chance to relive everything that the school has to offer through my two kids that are there now and loving every day of it.
Enjoying that. And two, we want to note, as a hockey parent, you also have your youngest son at St. John's Prep, where your oldest son graduated from. So a lot of quality time spent in the rinks, and once again, spent with family, Chris, this time of year. Keep the hot chocolate coming for the next few months.
I tell you, we're a unique breed. You know, it's my hat's off to any hockey parents out there, and, you know, we're all just, you know, loving every second of it. One of the things that I've really realized is my older son just graduated high school, had a great time at St. John's Prep. That's another great community, another great hockey program. But just seeing how fast it goes after he's graduated high school, I'm soaking up every second between the two boys and every game that they have left and every car ride that they'll take me in now. And it's a great sport that's given a lot to the family.
Indeed. And if you have the need for help in the area of personal injury and related issues, there's only one call to make, and that's to DiBella Law. I also want to note, Chris, that I love the fact that you boast state-of-the-art technology. With anybody that goes, you have your case evaluation form that will garner an instant response. You got to love that if you're in any kind of difficulty and looking to follow up. And once again, 24/7 to 855-743-2531. And again, DiBella Law, as we remind everybody, every case is personal. Chris, I'm glad that you personally took the time to be with us on the show this week to introduce yourself, as it were, as our presenting sponsor here this season and hopefully beyond. And great to keep it within the Terrier Nation and within the Terrier family, Terrier hockey family.
Hey, thank you so much, for Bernie, for having me. You know, you do a great job. It's a great program. Happy to be involved. And let's go Terriers. Let's have another great year.
Absolutely. Go Terriers. Chris DiBella joining us here from DiBella Law, our presenting sponsor, in a special segment on Inside BU Hockey. Yes, presented by DiBella Law, where every case is personal. Call 855-743-2531. Our gem of the week is Boston University's senior right wing, Sidney Healy. The native of Arthur, Ontario, got on the score sheet for a second straight game with an assist on Louisa Welke's goal versus Brown at Walter Brown Arena on Friday. Healy tallied her first goal of the season in BU's previous match at Colgate, a game-time marker late in the third period. Sidney enjoyed an outstanding year as a junior, leading BU in points with 23 and goals with 15. Her overtime game winner versus Northeastern delivered the 2025 Hockey East Tournament Championship to the Terriers. The Lady Terriers returned to Hockey East play this weekend with a single game Friday versus UNH at Walter Brown Arena. Puck drop is 6 p.m. Our Gem of the Week is sponsored by DePrisco Jewelers, diamond jewelers for more than 70 years, offering unmatched experience with no high prices on only top-quality certified non-conflict diamonds. Call 617-227-3339 or make an appointment online at boston.deprisco.com. DePrisco Jewelers, located in the Jewelers Building at 333 Washington Street at Downtown Crossing. Open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 4:30, Saturday, 10 to 4. DePrisco Jewelers, in love with love since 1948. Our BU in the Pro spotlight this week falls on Chicago Blackhawks center iceman Ryan Green. The native of St. John's, Newfoundland, tallied his first NHL goal, the 72nd all-time by a Terrier, versus the St. Louis Blues in an 8-3 victory last week. Drafted by the Hawks in the second round of the 2022 NHL draft, Green enjoyed three productive seasons at BU under coach Jay Pandolfo, becoming a member of the Terrier Century Club with 34 goals and 71 assists for 105 career points, while playing in three consecutive Frozen Fours. Green made his NHL debut last April in Montreal in front of a big contingent of his 2024-25 BU team, playing against his former teammate Lane Hudson. Congratulations to Ryan Green for his first NHL goal, wishing him many more to come. Our BU in the Pro segment is sponsored by Eastern Clothing of Watertown. For 87 years, setting the standard with quality, value, and service to its customers. Visit easternclothing.com and set up an appointment, or check them out on Facebook and Instagram. Eastern Clothing of Watertown, a premium experience without the elevated price tag. Thank you for joining us on our latest edition of Inside BU Hockey, presented by DiBella Law Offices, where every case is personal. Check their website, everycaseispersonal.com. I would like to thank my co-host, Kat Cornetta, correspondent Caitlin Beal, our producer Brady Gardner, and BU Athletic Communications for making our program possible. Until next time, this is Bernie Corbett. Go Terriers!